Join Iron Garden as we uncover the hidden marketing stories that shape our world, reveal the latest marketing tactics that will shape your future, and the amazing people that grow organizations, movements, and businesses. Learn to grow your business and shape the world around you. Welcome to the Garlic Marketing Show with Iron Garlic. And yes, it's Iron, not Ian. That's marketing too.
All right, folks, on this episode, I've got Alex back from Smart Sites, and we're going to talk about the death of brand loyalty and what's taking its place. We're going to talk about those pandemic trends. We're going to talk about the Amazon experience and how that's affected us. We're going to talk about the problems with most auto websites that he sees and the importance of a frictionless website and how much time you have to actually do that. We're going to talk about how they're doubling in size every 18 months for an agency. That's an amazing thing for a service business. But Alex, thank you so much for being on.
Thank you for having me again.
And thank you all for watching. Of course, this is brought to you by videocasestory.com. One of the best ways to make sure people have a great experience is showing them experience of your customers. Go to videocasestory.com to learn how to collect, craft, and deliver amazing customer videos. And Alex's company, I mean, it's amazing. Smart Sites is growing. You've doubled since last time I talked to you. That's amazing. I want to talk a little bit about that, if you don't mind, and how you're growing your agency, because that is amazing. But let's talk a little bit about brand loyalty, because I think we were talking before the podcast, and brand loyalty, as you said, was at a low. I want to talk about why that is and a little bit about how, because I always see, like, we were also talking, there's a recession coming. Everyone's like, oh no. I'm like, oh yes, there's always a way to take advantage of stuff. And there's always opportunity, especially when people think there's not. So brand loyalty going down, why is that happening?
Yeah, so we've seen across every industry. Specifically, I do a lot of work in auto, so I see it there, but it's affected every industry. And there's two sides of it, I guess, two ways to present it, right? On one side, and this is a big stat from a Google survey they did that I think was over 100,000 consumers. It was a very, very big study they did. 75% of consumers tried different stores, websites, and brands during the pandemic. So that was by far the highest on that metric they've ever measured. And that's the one side of it, right? Consumers are trying many more brands, many more things, experimenting with new brand styles, things like that. The other side of it, for them to be doing that, right, they're shopping less at the places they used to shop, and they're shopping less consistently. Like before, people would shop at Gap, would always go buy at Gap, everything they would buy at Gap. Now they're considering all these other retailers. So the flip side of that is brand loyalty is down a lot. And it's interesting, every industry has their own micro trends, but in aggregate, it's down for every single industry. In auto, a lot of it has been inventory related. But more so, I think the pandemic just taught people to look into different things, consider different things. So it's not your typical someone goes to a Toyota dealership and they have no Toyotas, they just have no inventory, so they'll go to Honda, right? That was a typical, like, the cross-shopping cars, right? Now, all of a sudden, someone goes to a Toyota dealership, there's no cars. They're like, you know what? There's a Chevy dealership down the street. I'll check out a Chevy truck. Like, really, like, cars that are not usually cross-shopped. I think mindsets have changed, and all these inventory issues that are affecting, I think, every industry at this point are driving that as well.
Yeah. And do you think, well, not death of TV, but TV's definitely changed, so we're not all seeing the same commercials over and over again. Do you think that type of advertising has affected brand loyalty?
I think that's part of it. I think advertisers have gotten a lot more creative in attracting eyeballs and influencing eyeballs, right? I think the macro trend is advertising has become a lot more personalized, where, like you said before, everyone would watch TV and get the same commercial. Now everyone goes online and gets completely different ad based on their behavior, what they looked at, what they're in market for. That for sure gives companies a bigger chance to influence and gain new customers, right? Before, let's talk about like something very general, like clothing brands, right? Before, you would have a clothing brand do a commercial on TV. How many people is it relevant for that are interested in that style, right? Or like, I don't know, they're advertising female clothes and I'm a male watching the TV show and the commercials for female clothes. Like, am I going to go and look up that brand? No. But online, where everything could be very personalized, where they know I'm in market for sneakers right now and they show me a brand new brand for sneakers, I'll check it out, right? And I think with a pandemic, people have become more likely to check it out. There's a lot of underlying trends like support small businesses, support new businesses, right? So people are much more open-minded to check out new things, new brands, new small businesses, right? The small business push has been really hard during the pandemic since those businesses got hit the hardest.
Yeah, and I agree. And so, yeah, you see these quote-unquote small businesses. Some of them are just small businesses that are actually owned by big businesses but look like small businesses. But it's a way to, you know, get it out there. So now there's this opportunity for small business. You know, I think that the lack of brand loyalty has obviously allowed, you know, challengers into places like shoes and places like, you know, even automotive. You know, we're seeing even these electric car brands just pop up left and right. What do you think are the keys to capturing that? To capturing those people that don't, you know, aren't going to go with the brand?
Yeah, I think it's all about very strong and succinct marketing advertising strategy, right? And it's not about, creating the next Nike, if we're talking about shoes. It's figuring out what segment of the consumers you resonate with, and being really on the ball with targeting those people with the correct messaging. And that's what's happening. That's what successful businesses are doing. I think just a couple hours ago, Revlon filed for bankruptcy, right? They make makeup. They've very successful company, billions of dollars market cap, filed for bankruptcy. And if you read through all their notes of why they're seeking bankruptcy, is because literally they said small businesses have been chipping away at their business from every single direction. You have influencers who are now coming up with their own makeup brands, and literally small. It's not like one competitor that came in and put Revlon out of business, right? It's all these small businesses that chipped away from every direction, and Revlon was just not quick enough to adapt. So I think it's exactly what's happening in every industry, and there's a lot of companies who are doing it successfully, and those that are not doing it successfully are going to be the ones that go out of business. Unfortunately, you have to be very agile, very on point with your marketing. I think these days, especially for a small business, for a new brand, your marketing strategy will make or break it for you. And it's very easy to just turn on Google Ads, right, and spend tons, right? You could spend $100,000, you could spend $200,000, without getting a result. It's not, I don't know, like 10, 15 years ago in the internet space, everything was so cheap. Like on Google, you were paying 5-10 cents a click. You could get away with just turning on a campaign and just like targeting everyone, and you'd still be okay, right? But at this point, you really have to be really good at your marketing.
Yeah, oh, I agree. And we were talking about before the show, because I think that one of the big things, I know you all do CRO, with, you know, conversion rate optimization, and I think so few people, so few businesses with outside of like the best digital marketers really think about that customer experience, like from start to finish, really drill that down. And how important is that? You know, especially if someone gets on the website and they're like, well, they can see my pictures, they see the description, but we're talking about like one click checkout, those things. How important is that to your advertising strategy?
And I'm sure a lot of people have heard this very often for the last couple of years, but Amazon really changed the game, right? Everyone now expects the Amazon experience, which is completely frictionless. And it's not just the experience on your website, it's getting to the website too, right? If you get some kind of marketing ad that says, we're having this kind of offer or something like that, it should promote something, first of all. You shouldn't be running generic ads. But you see an ad that promotes an offer, you click on it, and you land on someone's homepage and doesn't mention that offer at all, you're going to lose that consumer, right? So the entire journey has to be frictionless, has to be consistent. The messaging has to be consistent. The colors have to be consistent. The offer, everything has to be frictionless, consistent, and it has to be a very smooth experience. We're past the point where you could have an 8-page checkout process, right? And some industries haven't really caught up with that. Again, I do a lot in auto, so let's talk about auto really quick. If you go to an auto website, and I'm not saying Car Gurus or Cars.com or any of those, like a dealership, your local dealership website, and let's say you want to trade in a car, so go to their website, pull up try to find trade in my car or get an offer for my car. First, you have to find it, right? But then in most cases, it's going to be a 10-step process, right? How many consumers are doing a 10-step process, especially on their mobile device, right? And when you have to fill in your entire like life history, it just doesn't work that way anymore. So it's some industries are slower to come to all of this than others, but everyone's going to need to be there. If you make anything difficult for your consumer, they will close out much more so than ever before. I think patience for people are not even patience, attention span is probably the lowest I've ever seen.
Oh yeah, it is by far the lowest. By far. I mean, well, and because we can be constantly entertained, constantly click on something, get exactly what we want, and you have to think about that. No matter what industry you're in, you got to think about that. I was just on an attorney's website today, one of our clients, and I'm like, hey, did you notice that your chat is like 12 steps? And I'm like, they're like, well, we haven't been getting any chats. I'm like, well, there's 12 steps here, and people don't want that. They want help right now. So
with attorneys, it gets interesting too. Attorney is one of those industries that not only has to be very simple like any other industry, right? But people expect a very quick response. So not only does your contact form, chat, whatever it is, have to be really, really easy to do, but if you're not responding to those leads, and let's leave chat alone, let's say even email leads or a phone call lead, right? If you're not calling people back or responding to people in an hour, you're going to lose that lead. And that's something that hasn't happened in the past, right? 10 years ago, when you submit a lead on a website, you didn't expect an instant response. You expect a response like the day after, or that was all fine. These days, you expect an instant response. If you don't, you'll move on to the next company very quickly. And I don't think even an hour is quick enough anymore.
No. We want instant response. And we want that from everyone we talk to so we can make our decision. You know, when you're seeing that, what are the biggest mistakes that you're seeing right now that are continuing to happen on websites, you know, attorneys everywhere that you're just like, oh man, that really drives you nuts when you see it?
Yeah, I think, like you said, the multi-step processes, and I could see why attorneys and medical would maybe want to have the extra information. But you just got to simplify it for the consumer, right? Let's say you really need that additional information. You make it a two-step form, but after they fill in their first name, last name, and email, or if you want a phone number, let's say first name, last name, phone number, you already lead capture and you call them back right away, right? So if they press next and they don't want to fill out all the details of the case that they need help with, you still follow up with them. So you can't expect consumers to spend 10 minutes filling out your forms or waiting. Like I've seen a lot of websites, because live chat is very popular now and in every industry, but I see a lot of these websites are like, let's implement live chat, and I'm like, who are you going to have manning this live chat? And they're like, oh, so and so that does these 10 other things, they'll man it. So you go to this live chat, like no one responds, right? And then like 3 hours later, someone responds. Like, that's not going to work. 3 hours later in the legal field, you lost that lead, right? And it depends which legal field you're in, but lifetime value in a lot of these legal professions is like $100,000, right? It's crazy how much you could lose and how you could really hurt your business by not being there for your consumer in a way that they expect.
In a way that they expect. And that's, I think that's,
yeah.
You know, it's like, well, they shouldn't expect me to respond right away. I'm an attorney. I'm like, but that's what they expect. That is what, because that's what we get.
And that changed. That really changed. Like 3-4 years ago, people did not expect everything to be instant and in a way they do now. Right now in every industry, like, right, even I was talking about submitting a form to get a quote for your car, to trade in your car, right? Every dealership right now wants to purchase your car. The inventory levels are near zero. Everyone wants a car. You go fill in a form on a website, I don't think most of them are not going to get back to you really quick. But as a consumer, you fill it in and you expect it to either be instant or like within 10 minutes. If someone like gives you the quote for your car like the next day or the day after, I assure you that person already went to somewhere else, and whoever gave them the instant response, that's who they're going to go with.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I mean, because you want to do it and you want to do it now. I mean,
yeah.
I bought my boat. So I was like, I want to go buy a boat. And it was amazing. So I was like, hey, I want to come buy a boat. And they're like, well, you can come in like a couple of days. I'm like, nope. I called the other person and I'm like, hey, I want to come buy a boat. And they're like, okay. I'm like, here's my credit card number. They're like, okay. And I went and got a boat. That's what you expect. It's crazy.
Yeah. There's some industries where it's not as crazy as others, but in general, consumers want frictionless experiences on every device, right? You go to a website on your cell phone and your computer, you want the same experience. You don't want one to be a completely different experience than the other. They expect messaging to match everywhere. If you're offering something in your marketing campaign, you should offer it on your website. They expect instant responses from email, text. I don't know. It's funny. During the pandemic, dealerships were hurt a lot. So I did a lot of speaking and coaching for dealerships on how to adapt and how to stay in business, right? Because no one was buying cars during the pandemic. And a lot of it was to be present for the consumer in every way that they expect you to be and every way they want you to be. So that means some consumers will only want to do digital, right? So they'll only want to talk to you via email and on your live chat. Some will still want to come in despite COVID, right?
Yeah.
Some will want to text. So now you have to have salespeople who are willing to text back and forth with them, because if you're not willing to, you might lose that lead. So you really have to be very flexible and communicate with the consumer any way that they want to communicate, not be like, oh, our salespeople are not going to be texting with consumers. If they want to come in, and that's the way the auto industry was before, by the way. If you want to buy a car, you have to come in person.
Yeah.
It was no one, 2 years ago, no one would give you a lease or finance quote over text, email, or even phone. They would be like, come in and we'll close the deal in person. How quickly that changed, right?
Oh, yeah.
Or changed for a lot of dealerships, the ones that didn't went out of business.
Yeah, because they had to. I mean, that's how I bought my truck. I was literally driving down the street. I found, my wife was driving. I wasn't driving. And I'm looking. I'm like, oh, that's the truck I want. I'm like, do-do-do-do-do. I'm like, I want to buy this. And I'm like, okay, have everything ready. And I'm like, I send it. Because I don't want to go spend 4 hours at a car dealership. I don't need to anymore. No. I test drove it, and there it is. And, you know, and so I guess, branding has overcome, or experience has overcome branding. Then is for what sure. You're saying
much more so than before, and it's very easy for a brand to lose a customer for life. One bad experience and you will lose that customer for life, and that's very dangerous. It's very scary for brands who usually focus, especially bigger brands, they focus more on new client acquisition than client retention. So it's a scary time, but the flip side, it gives opportunities for new brands, and that's again why Revlon declared bankruptcy today, because them being the way they were created so many opportunities for everyone else that everyone ate away at their market share. And it wasn't anyone that came out with anything innovative or different or any big competitor. It's literally they weren't doing well enough to maintain their clients and grow, and they created the opportunity for everyone else to chip away at their market share.
Yep. Yeah. And before they knew it, they were spending tons. I'm sure they were spending tons of money on advertising till the last second, on just blanket advertising.
I'm sure they still are even in bankruptcy now. 90-year-old company, been around for 90 years. I think they've never declared bankruptcy before, even through COVID and all the other challenges. Obviously, in the last 90 years, they racked on tons of debt to keep spending on client acquisition, marketing, branding, all of that. Wound up with, I think they have $4 billion in debt, which they thought they'd be okay with. But now that interest rates are going up, their debt payments pretty much doubled. And when did they raise interest rates? A day ago, 2 days ago? It took 24 hours for them to declare bankruptcy. $4 billion in debt.
$4 billion in debt. Dang. Ouch. Well, let's talk about the flip side. You're growing. That's amazing. Amazing story. Doubled in size since last time we talked. That makes my heart flutter a little bit, because I know what it's like to run an agency. Obviously you did it through COVID. You're talking about you had a big space and you had to get everyone. What's keeping you going? How do you grow that fast as an agency? How are you doing?
Yeah, yeah. Good question. So we're not on the, like, if you go to tech space, like you go to Silicon Valley, we're not growing at those multiples where there's businesses that are like 10x every month, right? We double in size every 18 months, which is, I think, a fast pace, but it's manageable. But the idea is that it's, you got any industry you're in, I think you have to keep growing and keep pushing the envelope. I think if you stay the status quo, eventually you'll be replaced. I think that's what it is. But there's tons of challenges, right? It's and as you continue to grow, there's more challenges. And I don't know, last we spoke, we were at 150 employees. Right now we're I think 296. We're almost at 300. Different challenges at different sizes, right? But, the challenges I had 6 years ago managing 50 people that I would talk to all of them and knew all of them are a little bit different than when you have 300 people. But I think every industry, you got to really keep pushing to better yourself, better the company, right? And I think ultimately growth is a big part of that as well. I think even if you think about it, we don't make widgets. We don't make anything, right? Our services are employees. So it's super important that our employees are happy and are trained. And happy and trained employees provide good services for clients. But ultimately, if we're not growing, we're not offering opportunities for employees, right? If everyone is at a certain level in the company, right? If we stay the status quo, I can't promote people. I can't give them new opportunities, right? Because if I move someone else up, I create a hole in the level under, right? So in growth mode, we're able to facilitate career advancements. We're able to move people around. Let's say you came in as a PPC analyst, you worked that for a couple of years, and you really don't want to do the operation stuff. You want to manage people now. Well, here's the opportunity to do it. Or you want to specialize in e-commerce. Perfect. We're going to build out a new e-commerce team. You could head that up. So I think it's super, super important to obviously keep growing and create opportunities for employees to have their career growth with your company, as opposed to work for your company and then leave and have their career growth somewhere else.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. It is interesting. Yeah. Because I mean, talent, especially in this field, talent acquisition is weird because it's not like there's no one that has you can go to law school and pick up lawyers, but you cannot go to, there's not a great, great digital marketing school out there that you can go, oh, they want to add this great digital marketing degree, because it's almost impossible, I think, to have a great digital marketing degree because it changes so fast.
Yeah, and hiring has been tough. So digital has been so much in demand that it's very hard to hire people now, just because of the every company needs digital talent now. Even if they don't do their marketing internally, they need some kind of digital talent. Restaurants, right? Restaurants, traditionally industry that was like, you know what, we don't need websites. We're good. We'll be on Google My Business and Yelp, or we're good. Now they need to be creating social media content and posting things and being flexible with COVID restrictions and communicating that to customers and being able to do email marketing, send their current customers coupons to come back. And we're doing this drive to support local businesses. Please help us. All of a sudden you need multiple digital people. So hiring has been a challenge in every industry, but digital specifically has been a little tougher. I think now things are starting to flip a little bit as it very quickly we went from like the great resignation to now I think in the last 2 weeks, almost every tech company has announced layoffs or hiring freezes. So I think it's going to flip the other way a little bit. But in the last year or two, hiring the right people has been very difficult.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And you have to balance hiring with, you know, and demand. And you all, I mean, to grow that big and do digital marketing at that level, you've got a lot of people nipping at your heels, like we were talking about with Revlon. How are you staying dominant in a market and growing yourselves in a market that stands out when you've got no barrier to entry for a lot of your competition?
Yeah, no, for sure. There's no barrier to entries. We make websites for, I don't know, WordPress websites we make for 10 grand. We compete against everyone from enterprise companies that charge 100 grand to your cousin's daughter who's in high school and can make a WordPress website for free, right? That's a range of competition. So for sure. And similar with every line of our business, SEO, pay-per-click, social media, right? Everyone now knows, like, oh, my cousin's brother does this Facebook stuff really well. So for sure, it's we compete a lot of times with people who would do it for free, right? Which is not easy to compete with. But it's I think it's a focus on customer service and employees and our reputation. If you search smart sites or smart site reviews, we have all 5-star reviews, I think more so than any other agency. And that doesn't come easily, as anyone in any business knows. People are very, very quick to leave reviews of bad experiences and very slow to leave reviews of good experiences. So I think that's really what sets us apart and what's helped us grow. But it's certainly not easy. It's very hard to provide a 5-star experience for every single business, for every single customer, for every single person. But we do our best.
No, I mean, that's amazing. That is amazing. And to get that level of reviews, especially in digital marketing, because the people's expectations of what digital marketing should be and what they should get for it are just blown out of the water by a lot of, you know, the people doing it for free, or the quote unquote gurus that are like, I made $1 million in 1 month with this simple website.
Expectations are crazy. People also have a lot of bad experiences, and it's, it's a struggle. It's a struggle.
It is. And you know, what lead generation channels for you are working the best right now? Is it still PPC?
Yeah. So we do most PPC. I think what we spend our money on is 70%, let's say PPC. We spend $300,000 a month, let's say 70% goes on PPC, but it's less and less value every year, which is not surprising, right? And it's all about, you want to make sure everything's measured and you have all the data and attribution models, and as long as you're getting on ROI, it's fine. But I know that every year, so right now for every dollar I spend on PPC, I know I'll get $5 lifetime value, right? A year ago it was $5.50, 2 years ago it was $6, right? The PPC and anything digital marketing will continue to be more expensive because more and more money shifted from TV, from print, from radio, from traditional. So I know that to be true, and I know next year I'll get even less return from it, right? But as long as you're getting a return, as long as it's measurable, it's still very powerful. We do a lot of other things. We experiment with different advertising, but pay-per-click and digital is still the place to be. There's still an arbitrage opportunity versus traditional media. Like, if you think about traditional media, you have print, right? So it's magazines, newspapers. The way to measure that is the publications charge you based on how many issues they produce. So that's why in New York City, you see stacks of newspapers on the street, right? Those are the eyeballs you paid for. Those newspapers that are going to stack there, and then they're going to get thrown out, right? And then you have billboards. So the cost for billboards in all metros have been the same over the last 15 years, right? It's if you look at all the metrics, if anything, it's gone up. But if you think about billboards, who looks at billboards? Think about New York, like the metros, New York City, Boston, like the big cities. It used to be people who would be in taxis. You would sit in a taxi and you would look at the billboards. Now you're in the Uber or Lyft or whatever it is. I promise you, unless you're a tourist, you're not staring out the window at the billboards. You're probably on your cell phone. Well, at the same time, the cost has stayed the same. So I think digital is still the place to be for advertising, just because of the disconnects you see in the traditional media side. Not to say that you shouldn't be doing print or radio or whatever it is. There's still opportunity there, but it's less trackable, and I think the value is not there.
Yeah, no, I agree. And you know, I think it's still a huge opportunity. I mean, it's just not the opportunity it was. But if you think about it, it's an investment. Especially, it looks like we're talking about having a recession coming. Hopefully, people spend a little bit less on marketing if you're spending money now, because then that's the opportunity to spend more. I always tell my clients, when everyone else is freaking out, that's when you need to dump the money. At the beginning of the pandemic, I was like, hey, everyone, dump all your money in marketing. And the people that did doubled and tripled. Because it was like, I mean, we were back down to like 30-cent leads for a few months. It was great.
Yeah. I mean, in auto, we had a lot of clients who stopped marketing altogether twice. Once when COVID started and once when they ran out of inventory. And a couple of them went out of business because let's say you're out of inventory. So you're like, oh, I have no cars to sell. Why should I be doing marketing? But if you're not marketing yourself, people don't even know you exist, right? They're not putting an order for your car when it arrives. And when someone is ready to buy the car, they've never heard of you. They're going to go to a dealership that they keep seeing about the last 6 months all over the internet. Those are the guys I'm going to go to. So it's the people who the knee-jerk reactions to cut everything usually get hurt the most, unfortunately. Obviously, marketing is the easiest thing to cut versus like payroll and like real estate. Like you own a big building, you can't like, oh, I'm not going to pay for it, right? Marketing is very easy to cut, but it usually hurts. Like it might make sense to lower your marketing or rethink it, right? If you're advertising a specific car, if you're advertising a Porsche 911, and right now, if you want to buy a new Porsche 911, I promise you, you'll not get one this year because they're sold out into next year. Maybe you shouldn't market that car specifically, but you should rethink your strategy. But the knee-jerk reaction of cutting all marketing, I've never seen it work out positively for anyone.
No, it does not. And it does not. And especially when there's that opportunity because less people are. And that's the time. I mean, always the biggest businesses are built when the recession happens.
During the recession. So many new ideas, so many new businesses. I did a podcast a month or two ago where we literally just talked about all the new businesses that appeared during COVID or businesses that exploded. Like you have like the Zooms of the world or even Instacart, right? Instacart was doing okay, but now you have like the older generation. You have 70, 80-year-olds now on their cell phone ordering groceries from their cell phone. That's crazy. That wouldn't have happened if the pandemic didn't happen and if Instacart wasn't there promoting themselves at the correct time.
Yeah. No, it's crazy. But it's a huge opportunity, and it's a great opportunity. It's a great reason to call you. How does someone get in, you know, what's it like to work with you? Who do you work with? Who is the best client for you?
Yeah, good question. So our bread and butter in terms of providing value, small, medium-sized businesses, right? Once you're over, I would say, 500 employees, you're more likely are going to have an internal marketing team. And although we can still provide value, it's the best value is usually, I don't know, 5 employees to a couple hundred is where we come in and we become your partner. We take over all the, we'll take over your website stuff, your marketing stuff, SEO, pay-per-click, strategy, social media, take all of that off your plate. We've had very, very few cases where we don't provide tremendous value. It's always, because you should be doing those things and the people who are trying to do it themselves, like a business owner trying to do SEO, pay-per-click, social media, managing their website, manage their hosting, never turns out well, right? Because you're taking time away from running your business. If you hire a person to do it versus hiring an agency, you're going to hire one person and you're going to tell them, I want you to do SEO, pay-per-click, website development, coding, right? Website hosting, social media, organic social media. That's also never going to work out well. I'd highly suggest for any small, medium-sized business to really find an agency to partner with because that's the way we work. We become a partner to the company. And we take as much off their plate as we can while at the same time helping them scale and grow their business.
It's such good advice. Such good advice. And it's getting doing this stuff is more and more difficult. And, you know, that's why I like, you know, to work with at least a medium-sized agency because you see stuff across different sites, right? You're not working with just one website. You're seeing trends. You're seeing things. And I'm sure you guys converse a lot about what's going on across all of the websites. And all the campaigns. It's fantastic. And so go to smartsites.com. Where's the best place? Where are you spending most of your time on social media?
Oh, geez. LinkedIn and Twitter have been the best for me. I'm on all the platforms. If you go to alexmelen.com, alexmelen.com, I have all my social media at the bottom. But LinkedIn and Twitter, I've at least for me, has been the best. So definitely connect with me on any of the platforms, but you'll find me most often on those two.
Awesome. I think Twitter is still a great place to be.
Yeah, you know what? I like Twitter. as plus and minuses, but Twitter, I think of it kind of like a, it's like a megaphone, right? You're there and you just shout out your message, and whoever wants to listen to it listens to it, right? It's I mean, I get as much interaction as LinkedIn, but a lot more people are there to hear what I'm saying and absorb it, and I see the views on the post and everything, and then I think I have 130,000 followers or something like that, so it's not necessarily like the best for interact, although it depends, I get interaction too, but it's kind of like the you like shit. That's how many people use it. Like Elon Musk is in there. He interacts a little bit, but it's also like just shout out your message. LinkedIn, I found to be in the last couple of years, almost like Facebook was in the beginning. It's a much better place than Facebook is, especially for like business stuff right now. And it's gotten a lot better in the last couple of years.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I think it's still a big opportunity. I think, you know, it's one of those things that it was big and then it was killed by marketers. And now it's like, it's back to where it was before.
Yeah. It's a little bit better for sure.
Nice. Yeah. So we'll put a link to all that in the show notes, but this has been fantastic. Perfect. Alex, thanks so much for joining us again on the Garlic Marketing Show.
Thank you, Ian.
And thank you all for taking Alex and I on our journey. Make sure to check out SmartSight. This has been Ian Garlic and the Garlic Marketing Show.
Video. You know it'll make you an authority. You know it will get you more leads, better leads that close faster and spend more with you. And video stories will help you be remembered and connect with those perfect clients. The problem is, where do you start? Storycruise.com is the place to go. It's like a film crew with an S. What's your strategy? Do you do it yourself? Do you hire a videographer? An agency? Do you need an editor? How do you know if they really know your business and how to make videos for business that work? The answer to all of this and more can be found at storycruise.com. It is the place to find the latest video marketing strategies, the best gear for your business, as well as videographers, editors, and agencies near you that are trained in video storytelling for business. Go to storycruise.com/garlic to get special insider info for listeners of the Garlic Marketing Show, including special access to several of my courses, including my case story course. Go to storycruise.com/garlic to get a whole bunch of special offers just for listeners of the Garlic Marketing Show. Whether you're looking for a videographer or to do it yourself, go to storycruise.com/garlic to get started today.
That's it for the Garlic Marketing Show. If you want to get the inside scoop and the latest techniques, make sure to follow Ian Garlic on Facebook.